My friends, welcome to Greenwich, a town for all seasons. A community with a bountiful history like Greenwich, Connecticut has a special place in our hearts. This is our shared inheritance, offering us the opportunity to once again savor and celebrate the flavors of our past, pass it on to those who follow, and delight in this place we call home. My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, a descendant of Greenwich's founders, and I'm your host. I'm glad to have you with us today. May our journey together be just as engaging and treasured as those whose lives and legacies fascinate us today.
Coming up on today's show.
The campaign to grant women the right to vote culminated a century ago with the passage of the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Greenwich saw women of all backgrounds come together to fight the good fight. An unfinished revolution, the Woman's Suffrage Centennial opens to the public on the 5th of February 2020 at the Greenwich Historical Society. The exhibit illuminates 21st century visitors with the history and legacy of the women's suffrage movement as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment. We're joined on this morning's broadcast by Kathleen Crogwell-Varda, the exhibit's guest curator. Now, we recently lost two community icons in Greenwich. Lou Caravella was the proprietor of Post Stationery and Coscom for decades. He purchased the store in 1953 and worked 7 days a week, 15 hours a day, until 1988. He also served as the Town of Greenwich tax collector from 1998 to 2009. Then there was Douglas Francefort. He passed away on January 7th, peacefully at his home at the age of 91. His major passion was the book shed at the Recycling Center at Holly Hill. We'll have all this and more as today's excursion into history unfolds. Don't go away. We're just getting started.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host. Contact me anytime by email at greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com. Check out the show's news blog at greenwichatownforallseasons.blogspot.com. Are you on Facebook? Well, I hope you are. Look up and join the show's Facebook group. Social media groups I recommend joining are, you know you're from Greenwich, if administered by town resident Judy Goss, Images of Greenwich, Connecticut, administered by Jim Ramsey, the Nostalgia Greenwich, and the Portchester, New York Historical Archive, administered by Norm Davis. Tune in to Greenwich A Town for All Seasons every other Wednesday morning, 9 to 9:30 a.m. in the Eastern Time Zone. Can't listen to us in real time? Well, we've got you covered with archived shows posted in the shows and hosts section of WGCH.com and on podcasts.com and on SoundCloud. With each broadcast of the Greenwich A Town for All Seasons show on Radio 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere, we reach listeners across the country and even around the world. Now, part of our mission is to connect us to our history here in Greenwich, Connecticut, endeavoring to serve the public energized by a deeper appreciation that informs and inspires audiences to reflect on that history. Your continued support and sponsorship makes this possible. I extend my sincerest thanks to the following individuals for making today's broadcast possible. Ms. Catherine Laudnier and Mr. John Mickey Robinson, Ms. Sue Hill McClanachan, Mr. Kevin M.J. O'Connor of the Jeffrey Matthews Group, Ms. Linda Heald, Ms. Janine Bjork, and Ms. Kathleen Blood of Spiritus Capital. Now, for more information on how you can support the Greenwich A Town for All Seasons show, please contact me at greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com. Again, that's greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com or call 808-721-0306. I look forward to welcoming you to sponsor our show. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to Talk of the Town. My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, and I am your host. Regarded as the largest reform movement in American history, the campaign to grant women the right to vote culminated a century ago with the passage of the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Its proponents believe that securing for women the right to vote was fundamental to the achievement of political, economic, and social equality. Greenwich, like many communities across the nation, saw women of all backgrounds come together to fight for their rights. An unfinished revolution, the Woman's Suffrage Centennial, is a dynamic and timely exhibit that opens to the public on the 5th of February 2020 at the Greenwich Historical Society. The exhibit illuminates 21st century visitors with the history and legacy of the women's suffrage movement as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment. The exhibition is guest curated by Kathleen Crogwell Varda. She is with us by phone this morning. Kathleen, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. All right. Now, we're actually meeting each other for the first time. So tell us about yourself.
Well, I am actually a former curator of the Greenwich Historical Society. I was there back when, about 20 years ago, when they did the new interpretation at the Bush Holly House. I'm the curator of the slave quarters up there. And for that time since, I've been working as a curatorial consultant to museums and private collectors in the tri-state area.
Oh, very good. Very good. All right. Now, it's year 2020, of course. We are celebrating the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment. Spend a few moments and take us through the process of gathering original materials from, you know, the Historical Society, archives, libraries, private collections, and so on.
Sure. Well, you know, finding artifacts for an exhibition is a bit like detective work. As you're researching, you're noting items that are mentioned. You're speaking to other curators. You're tracking down credits that you see in photographs. And you're speaking to collectors about what they've seen, what they've worked with, what they have. And you start tracking down items and pulling things together that way. I, in fact, had a descendant of a suffragist even say to me, "How in the world did you find me? I don't even have the same last name as they do." And to me, that's part of the fun.
Yes.
I really enjoy that part of curatorial work. But I also have to say that, you know, an exhibit curator never works alone. Karen Frederick, who recently retired as a curator at the Greenwich Historical Society, she did an amazing job culling through the Historical Society's archive, looking for suffrage material, and then doing a lot of research, putting together research notes and possible objects way before I was even invited to curate this exhibition. We were also really fortunate to have as one of our expert advisors for the exhibition, Jessica Jenkins. She is a great friend, a terrific curator. And she has a book coming out this spring on the 50 most important objects of the suffrage movement. So knowing you have this incredible resource that I could call or email and talk to and say, "I'm looking for this," or "I found this. What do you think about this example?" It's always great to have someone to bounce ideas off of and just find out what they know about.
Now I understand that as part of this process, you have brought in the descendants of the suffragists, and that certainly adds to the authenticity of the exhibit, right? So talk to us about that.
Oh, absolutely. So there were a number of women from Greenwich who were really instrumental in the suffrage movement locally, as well as in the state and even nationally. And it was really important to me to be able to tell their stories, but to also find artifacts that would illustrate their work as suffragists. So we were able to track down and talk to the descendants of Valeria Parker, Louisine Havemeyer, Grace Gallatin Seton. And I have to say, when you speak to them about their ancestors, it was so moving to see what pride they take in these suffragist ancestors of theirs, which is in itself a tribute to what these women were fighting for and what they eventually accomplished. Because during their lifetime, they actually faced so much opposition to their work from their own family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the most amazing experiences for me as a curator has been getting to know Colleen Jenkins of Greenwich, who is a great-great-granddaughter of Elizabeth Cady Stanton, one of the founders of the women's suffrage movement. And she's been very generous with us for this exhibition, and we are so thrilled to be able to have a part of the exhibition illustrating the impact of five generations of Stanton women to suffrage and the equal rights movement.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want you to paint for us a demographic picture of the Greenwich area women who came together to fight for the 19th Amendment. Tell us about that.
Well, sure. So the majority of the suffragists who were leaders of the movement, not only in Greenwich and Connecticut, but nationally, many of them came from upper class and upper middle class families. On the whole, many of them were college educated. In the exhibit, half of the women we profiled from Greenwich were actually single professional women, and the other half were married to wealthy men, which gave them the time and opportunity to take an active role in suffrage. There were also women who were part of the movement from the working class, and they were supporters of suffrage. There are examples of some of them using vacation time from their jobs to attend rallies and parades. Constance Holly McCray, who ran the boarding house at what is now the Bush Holly House on the Historical Society's campus, was a working woman. That boarding house was her family's principal form of income. And we have letters and other items in our archive showing that both she and her husband and even her twin daughters were supporters of the suffrage movement, but we have no evidence that she participated in any of the parades or protests. And considering the work involved in running the boarding house, that's really not a surprise. The other group of women from Greenwich that we highlight and from Connecticut are African-American women. Now, these women, too, of course, are suffragists. They come from all economic classes, but nearly all of them face segregation from white suffrage organizations.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kathleen, given the period of history we are examining, this surely was disruptive for their spouses, their male spouses, of course, or was it? So share that with us.
Well, you're absolutely right. It definitely could be disruptive. There are a number of suffragists who are fortunate to have husbands that were really supportive of their work. Isabella Beecher Hooker from the famous Beecher family of Connecticut, her husband and she were partners in the movement. But then you have other women. So, for example, the Greenwich Equal Franchise League, which is the local suffrage group here in Greenwich, was founded in the home of Dr. Valeria Parker. She was involved in the local and state suffrage organization. She was very active professionally as a physician, and she was a champion of social hygiene in the early 20th century. And what we know is that she filed for divorce from her husband, alleging cruelty. He didn't contest the divorce, and the dissolution of their marriage appears to be a direct result of her work as a suffragist. He wanted his wife to be home taking care of their children, and she had another view altogether.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. My friends, we're going to pause for a short break. My guest today on Talk of the Town is Kathleen Crogwell-Varda. She is the guest curator of An Unfinished Revolution, the Woman's Suffrage Centennial, a dynamic and timely exhibit that begins on the 5th of February, 2020, at the Greenwich Historical Society. Learn more at greenwichhistory.org.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
It's time for you to head on over to the Greenwich Historical Society's museum store located at 47 Strickland Road in Cuscob. Why? Now, through this coming Friday, January 17th, is your chance to take advantage of the store's annual winter sale. Enjoy 30 to 50% savings on select items. What an opportunity! Terrific values that are easy on your pocketbook are now at hand. While you're there, the Greenwich Historical Society's cafe in the restored Toby's Tavern is serving hot and cold beverages, sandwiches, salads, pastries, and snacks. After perusing the museum store, relax in the cafe and access its complimentary free Wi-Fi. Bring your friends, family, and colleagues to this undiscovered alternative to crowded coffee shops. Free parking, that's right, free parking, conveniently located near the Cuscob Railroad Station and the Village Center in Cuscob, too. 47 Strickland Road. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., weekends noon to 4 p.m. Chances are you'll see me there. Learn more at GreenwichHistory.org or call 203-869-6899. Again, learn more at GreenwichHistory.org or call 203-869-6899.
With each broadcast of the Greenwich A Town for All Seasons show on Radio 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere, we reach listeners across the country and even around the world. Now, part of our mission is to connect us to our history here in Greenwich, Connecticut, endeavoring to serve the public energized by a deeper appreciation that informs and inspires audiences to reflect on that history. Your continued support and sponsorship makes this possible. I extend my sincerest thanks to the following individuals for making today's broadcast possible. Ms. Catherine Laudnier and Mr. John Mickey Robinson, Ms. Sue Hill McClanachan, Mr. Kevin M.J. O'Connor of the Jeffrey Matthews Group, Ms. Linda Heald, Ms. Janine Bjork, and Ms. Kathleen Blood of Spiritus Capital. Now, for more information on how you can support the Greenwich A Town for All Seasons show, please contact me at greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com. Again, that's greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com or call 808-721-0306. I look forward to welcoming you to sponsor our show. Thank you so much. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Greenwich A Town for All Seasons. I am Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host on Radio 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. My guest today is Kathleen Crogwell Varda. She is the guest curator of An Unfinished Revolution, the Woman's Suffrage Centennial that begins on the 5th of February at the Greenwich Historical Society. You can learn more at greenwichhistory.org. Kathleen, thank you for staying on through the break. Now, I want to know, spend a few minutes, highlight for us maybe four or five of these women who broke away from the established social convention of the time to take up the cause of women's suffrage.
Sure. Well, one of my goals in this exhibit was to, of course, include the prominent names of the suffrage movement, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan B. Anthony, Alice Paul, but also to introduce visitors to people they may not be as familiar with, such as Caroline Roots Reeves. She was the first head of Rosemary Hall, the all-girls school that used to be in Greenwich, a passionate suffragist who encouraged the young women in her school to be politically active. She also co-founded the Junior Suffrage League, which was a national suffrage organization for young people. And Constant and Clarissa McRae of the Bush Holly House were among the earliest members of that organization. There's Grace Gallatin Seton, a very talented writer and illustrator. People may be more familiar with her daughter, Anya Seton, today. Grace was responsible for designing the state suffrage logo and all the parade floats in the 1914 suffrage parade in Hartford. You have Louisine Havemeyer, one of the most important art collectors, introduces Impressionism to America. She had homes in both Greenwich and New York City, and after being widowed in her 60s, she joins the suffrage movement, becomes a powerful public speaker, and is arrested for protesting outside the White House. And I think visitors will be really surprised to learn the stories of Elsie Hill and her sister Helena Hill Weed, both from Norwalk, both leaders in the National Women's Party, and both of them arrested numerous times for publicly protesting for the right to vote.
Wow. Oh, it sounds fantastic. Now, I have to ask you this. After visitors view the exhibit and they leave, what do you want them to come away with?
Well, I hope visitors come away with an understanding and appreciation of the sacrifices made by generations of women and men to win women the right to vote and to ensure that all Americans enjoy equal rights. That's why this exhibit doesn't stop at the ratification of the 19th Amendment, which only provides women with the right to vote, nothing more. The exhibit also addresses the continuing battle for equal rights in this country, which is why the exhibit is called The Unfinished Revolution. Elizabeth Cady Stanton rewrote the Declaration of Independence to include women back in 1848. And until men and women are equal in the Constitution, the revolution, which began in 1775, is not finished in this country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Now, as we start to close, how can the public learn more about dates, times, and other information about the exhibit?
Absolutely. Well, the exhibit, as you mentioned, opens on February 5th. It will be open until September 6th, 2020. They can learn more at the Greenwich Historical Society's website, which is greenwichhistory.org. And I would love to invite your listeners to join me on February 11th for Coffee with the Curator, I will be providing a guided tour of the exhibition with refreshments to follow, and they can register to attend at greenwichhistory.org/events.
Fantastic. Now, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
I do. You know, this exhibit spans the history of women's suffrage and the women's rights movement from the mid-19th century up to the present day. I think everyone will find something they didn't know or will be surprised to learn. And there is an interactive in the exhibit called 20 Questions in 2020. It tests a visitor's knowledge of voting rights and equal rights. And just maybe, this is one of my hopes, it's going to spur some visitors to maybe pick up the mantle of the suffragists and work towards a change that they believe in. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my guest today has been Kathleen Cogwell Varda. She is the guest curator of An Unfinished Revolution, the Woman's Suffrage Centennial. This timely exhibition is open to the public and commemorates the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution, granting women the right to vote. The exhibit opens on the 5th of February at the Greenwich Historical Society. Learn more at greenwichhistory.org. Kathleen, it has been such an honor and a privilege and a delight to speak with you today. Thank you for being on the show.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I hope to see you at the exhibit soon.
It's a new year. I'm inviting you to do something extraordinary. A new approach to modern health, created by nature, crafted by Modir. At Modir, they believe you deserve safe, effective, and clean products you can use daily. Modir is committed to helping you reduce, even eliminate, your exposure to controversial chemicals so you and your family can enjoy a safe, healthy home environment. Do you know I use Modir's award-winning Super Nutraceutical Liquid BioCell featuring its patented collagen AA matrix? It's true. Say yes to Modir. I did, and I love it. Learn more at modir.com. That's spelled modere.com. Call Rosalind at 808-394-5694. Again, that's Rosalind at 808-394-5694. Or call me at 808-721-0306. That's 808-721-0306. Greenwich Free Press reported the recent death of Douglas Francfort, who was 91 years old. Now, Mr. Francfort was born in 1928. He was a lifelong resident of Greenwich, graduating from Greenwich High School in 1946, and he married Eleanor Eder in 1950. Now, he was employed by Pitney Bowes for 44 years and retired as assistant controller. He served as president of the Pitney Bowes Oval Club and past president of the local chapter of the National Association of Accountants. Now, Doug served as a corporal in the U.S. Army during the Korean War, and upon discharge, he took advantage of the GI Bill, attending University of Bridgeport at night and earning a BA degree in accounting. He was a member of the Retired Men's Association, an active volunteer averaging 1,000 hours a year. Wow, that's a lot. And he drove for Call a Ride, Meals on Wheels, Adopt a Shelf at Greenwich Library. He did a lot. But Mr. Francfort's major passion was the bookshed in the recycling area at the Holly Hill Transfer Center. I didn't know that he was a part of that. Now, he designed it and ran it for many years with the help of many volunteers, including his wife. He had a love for reading and enjoyed giving the books away. And I know that there are many among you who brought your books to the bookshed and brought some home with you. On one of my recent nonstop flights to the Asia Pacific, I was looking for something to read, and Mr. Francfort's bookshed came to my rescue. Maybe that happened to you as well. I hope that the bookshed will continue for many years to come, and I want to extend my condolences to his wife, Ella, and the entire family. And I also want to thank you for sharing him with us and the Greenwich community and for being a part of our history.
When I was growing up in Round Hill in Greenwich's backcountry, one of our weekly rituals on Sunday was to climb into the car with my dad and make the journey to Post Stationery, where Mr. Lou Caravella, fondly known as the mayor of Coscob and later, quote-unquote, that tax guy, was there, always smiling and always with something good to say. Now, sadly, Mr. Caravella died earlier this month, surrounded by family and friends, at the age of 93. He attended Greenwich Public School, graduating from Greenwich High School in 1944. Now, as reported by Greenwich Sentinel, Mr. Caravella served as a private first class in the United States Air Force from 1944 to 46. He was an avid bowler, and he began his first business when he opened the Elm Street Bowling Alley after being discharged from the service. Now, later, he was a sales representative for a Stamford wholesaler that sold candy, tobacco, and sundries. Now, though he served as the town of Greenwich tax collector from 1998 to 2009, it was Lou's constant presence at Post Stationery in Coscob that made his face familiar to so many families, including mine. He knew the names and faces of many of the children who came to his store, noses pressed against the candy display, salivating over a favorite piece of candy. Boy, do I remember that. He purchased the store in 1953 as a wedding present to his unknowing wife, and he would go on to work 7 days a week, 15 hours a day until 1988 when he sold the store. His family joked that if a resident didn't know Lou from the store, they certainly learned his name when their tax bill arrived in the mail. Now, he worked long hours at the store, but he always found time to volunteer in the community, serving on many private and public boards and associations, including the representative town meeting. He was a busy gentleman, to say the least, even finding time to perform more than 500 wedding ceremonies as justice of the peace. Greenwich First Selectman Fred Camillo described Caravella as a familiar face that symbolized Coscob. Boy, that's certainly true. Reminiscing, Camillo said that, quote, everybody who went to Coscob school would go there before and after school. Everybody has a story about Lou and the store. It was literally the place in Coscob. Now, appropriately, flags throughout Greenwich were lowered at half-staff. I want to extend my gratitude to the entire Caravella family and my condolences as well, especially to his wife, for sharing him with us and with the Greenwich community. Lou Caravella possessed a rare neighborhood touch that endeared him to people of all walks of life. Thank you for being a part of our history. We are the better for it. That's all the time that we have today. My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host, and you have been listening to the Greenwich A Town for All Seasons show on Radio 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. I'm so glad that you could join us today and for being a part of our history. It doesn't matter how long you've lived here, you are a part of our history, and we're delighted to have you. Please be sure to tune in on the 29th of January. We will be here at 9 a.m. right after the top of the hour news. Take good care. We'll be right back.